Welcome to another gathering together here at St. Martin of Tours, another shepherd group meeting that we started just a few weeks ago. The 48th group that we started within Covenant of Grace, and we are excited about what the Lord is doing in our midst, and we are trusting God by faith that something supernatural is going to happen. I believe that lives are going to be changed. Hearts are going to be challenged, and we are going to see God's victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as each and every one of you groups gather with us now, as we begin to sing and focus upon the Lord, as we begin to pray and seek heaven, I pray that you will, with us, touch God and declare His glory, declare His name, declare who He is, and give Him honor and praise and worship. There's nothing like praise to lift you up. There's nothing like praise to beat the back of the enemy. And there's nothing like praise to see the glory come forth. Yes. And as we worship Him and as we honor Him and as we trust Him, He will inhabit the praises of His people. And we are gathered together in His name in this place for defined purpose under heaven. And we are God called, God anointed, and God appointed for this hour. Amen. So praise God with us as we seek Him. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank You for Your blood. Your blood that has cleansed us. Your blood that has touched us. Your blood that has made a way for us to enter in to the holies of holies and purify this God. And Lord, thank You for the waters of baptism that have purified us and God have prepared our hearts and God removed the old man and all the dross of it. And we thank You, Lord God, that You have touched us and that we can find that place in the presence of God, in Your holies of holies, where Your Spirit just enraptures itself amongst us. And we share with our God, and our God speaks to our hearts. And we pray, O Lord, that You would touch our hearts and draw us near to You as we go forth in Your presence. We pray, God, Your touch and Your grace. And Lord, right now, if there's anything within me, anything within any one of us that is contrary to the nature of Christ, we ask Your pardon and forgiveness. We pray that You would purge us as hyssop. If there be any transgression, any guile, any iniquity, any sin, anything, God, cleanse us in the name of Jesus. And we pray Your blood to touch us, God. And that, Lord, by Your stripes we'll be made whole, and by Your grace we'll be restored, and by Your mercy we'll know You in a very special way. God, we praise You and thank You, Lord. I pray, Lord, right now for those who are listening, who are hurting, who are struggling, who are having financial difficulties, who are physically hurt, who are going through struggles buying gas, whatever it might be, going through situations that seem difficult, in relationships that are broken down. I pray, God, that You would fill in the gap. You would touch the hearts. You would minister in the lives and be the difference maker in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That You would make up the difference. That You would touch those lives. That You would be Jehovah Jireh provider and provide for these needs according to Your riches and glory in whatever measure they are. And we pray, Lord, that You would touch and bless our hearts as we come before You, yes, the author and, yes, the finisher of faith. Yes. God, I thank You for all these years we have served You. Thank You, Lord, that we have served You and we've been faithful to You. And when we haven't been faithful, You got us back on track.
Yes.
And Lord God, there have been times when myself or Debbie or someone else has wanted to give up. But God, I thank You, Lord, that You had us get up again. And Lord, that You gave us hope. And You gave us strength. And there were those who might have given us encouragement. We pray, O Lord, that we will be faithful as You have been faithful and loving to us. In Jesus' name, touch this time together.
Yes, Lord.
Anoint the words of our mouth. Anoint our spirit. And Lord, I pray, God, just encourage our hearts. Encourage our hearts in Your love. God, I pray for encouragement for each and every one.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and the faith they're standing on and the dreams they have and that which they have towards You, God, I pray that You will fulfill those dreams with reality becoming theirs. In Jesus' name, and see the victory of God. Thank You, Lord, for these pews that are going to be filled in this building because people want to know You.
Yes,
and God, thank You for the lives that are going to be changed and challenged because God, by faith, we took a step. Not what we had seen, not that which we were promised, but that which you have promised.
Yeah.
And God, because you have promised, we know you are faithful, and all things that we expect in our hearts, we're going to see it through because God is good. He is faithful to his word,
yes.
And he has something under heaven to do in a special way. Here in Omaha, here in this state, here in this world, through this ministry, through our hearts, as we worship and honor you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I will bless the Lord for my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. So I will bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, I will bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We're going to sing a song called "Oh, How I Love Jesus." If you know this song, sing it with us. It's in the hymn books we have, but we just want to share it with you. And we pray that you'll be blessed as we sing this.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
It tells
me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day.
And though I tread a dark some path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
It tells me of one who loving heart can feel my deepest woe,
who in each sorrow's bear
that man can bear
below. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read a devotion to you before we sing the next song. It's called Never Forgotten. And it's going to go along with what we're going to minister to you today as we talk about God our Father. And as we continue on in talking about Godhead like we did last week and started on in the last week or two lessons. And our devotion is called Never Forgotten. And the scripture it uses is Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Some of the earliest engravings discovered were cut into shells. These have been found in Indonesia and in Africa and appear to be from thousands of years ago. Later, wooden objects were engraved, and even later than that, metal objects. Metal was a difficult material to engrave until humans created certain tools. We know about all these because when they were found, the words engraved on them remained. They remained. They remained. Time had not worn them away. Hallelujah. Young people have been known to document their love for one another by carving their initials into a tree. Maybe you have done that. These crude engravings remain year after year, long after the person who carved them has grown up or even moved away. And very often the youthful affections that prompted the carving have long faded away too. According to Isaiah 49, verse 16, God has engraved us on the palms of His hands. I've sometimes wondered just what God has engraved. Is it just our names? Or is it the account of our entire lives recorded on His hands with such permanence that it will not wipe or wash away even through all eternity? How precious to know that God holds us so dear that He has inscribed a permanent remembrance of us on His own hands. Mm-hmm. And from a love that will never fade away. Mm-hmm. Father, thank You. Yes. For always loving and being mindful of me.
Yes.
I bow my heart in worship and adore You right now. Lord, we're on Your hands engraved. God, You know us intimately. You know what's going on in our comings and goings. We are not just a creation. We are Your created beings. We are those who You've brought forth, and You love us so very much, God. And we become and when we become children of God, we are taking upon Your Son's name, and we're getting the family name emblazed upon our hearts and lives. Thank You, Lord, one day that we gave You a heart and life, Lord, and that the family name is upon our souls and hearts, and that You have written our names in the palms of Your hands, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Debbie's going to sing for us a song now called What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
Amen. Thank You, Lord.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Everything to Him, think about it.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what need carry. Everything to God in prayer.
We give him everything, church.
Have we trials and temptations?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Is there trouble anywhere?
Oh, precious Lord.
We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Take it to him today, guys. Take it to him.
Can we find a friend so faithful?
Yes.
Who will all our sorrows share?
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus knows our every weakness.
Yes, he does.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden?
Do you feel that way sometimes?
Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and chill thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. We need to take it to Jesus. Whatever it might be in your life, whatever the situation might be that's being presented to you today, whatever the trouble, whatever the heartache, we need to take it to Jesus. Too many times we carry our burdens. We think we're self-sufficient, but we are not. And Jesus Christ wants us to relinquish that self-sufficiency at the foot of the cross and say, come unto me all that are burdened, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you. My burden, he promised, would be light.
Yes.
Why don't you start taking up the yoke he has for you instead of you taking the yoke that you have that the devil has put on your back, that this world has put on your back, that circumstances has put on your back, and take his yoke upon you. For the scripture will promise and does promise that his burden is light. Papa cares for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth for a purpose to redeem and to save and to give us hope where there seems to be no hope. The Lord spoke to me this last week through ministering the word by Reverend Charles Simpson on the small plans of God. And in that message, he talked about how so many Christians today, they accept Christ, they come to the Lord, they even get baptized in his name, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, etc., but still are back before the cross Christians. They're pre-cross Christians. Why? Because they never became a Romans Christian, a Book of Romans Christian. One that died out. One that went through the suffering, through the pain, and laid it all down at the altar. Gave it all to God. They're pre-cross. And we have a lot of Christians today that have, quote, given their life to God. They've, quote, been blessed with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is a gift. And you can get baptized in water without a whole lot of stuff that you have to do in preparation, even though the Bible tells you you're supposed to truly prepare your hearts for baptism. But because we have found shortcuts in the body of Christ, because we have found ways around things or things that are acceptable, we don't pay the price like we used to. We don't go down to the cross and give it all to Jesus. We don't go through the cross and the suffering. Jesus paid a price for Calvary. Yes. Jesus paid a price at the cross. Yes. Jesus paid it all at the cross. But we cannot ignore in our lives that lack of our ability to give it all over to Him. We can't hold on to things and try to get around it and then see Pentecost. The true outpouring of His power, the true outpouring of His anointing, the true ministry of His Spirit in all dimensions, because we have not laid it all down. And our vessel would not be able to even handle what God has for us. Amen. I'm preaching now. Hallelujah. Wouldn't even be able to handle it. That's the reason we have to go through some things. The apostles went through some things after Jesus died. They went through some question marks. They went through some doubts. They went through some things. They were asking questions. But somehow by the grace of God and by the Lord appearing before them, they found their way to the upper room. They found their way to a place where they prayed and they became of one accord, unified in the things of God. And God broke through and did wonderful things and thousands of people were saved. Hallelujah. They dealt with the heartache. They dealt with the pain. They dealt with the remorse. They dealt with the things that had to be dealt with in order to get to that place where the glory came down. And they had to wait upon God. We don't like to wait in the church. Amen. We don't like to wait for anything in the church. And we become more instant than ever before. And we have a quick salvation. And we have a quick this. And we have a quick that. And we don't pay the price. And we don't go through the cross. And we are pre-cross Christians. And we never truly, truly get renovated, get restored by the power of God. All right. Hallelujah. We have too many believers that are not becoming the people of God that the Lord has chosen for them to become because they're not willing to lay it all out and take His yoke upon them where His burden is light. Jesus is walking up to a lot of you today and you still got a whole bunch of baggage hanging around. You're just taking it around and say, "Oh Lord, please help me." No, you know, come on now. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden at the foot of the cross and lay it down. Be willing to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to follow you even if it means rejection. Even if it means I'm not the most popular guy in town. Even if it means I'm not really this or that. What matters is that I know you and the power of the resurrection. That I know you and the grace of God. That I know you and that you're faithful and loving and sure." Amen. I don't want to be a pre-cross Christian. I don't want to be one that, quote, "I've accepted Christ," quote, "I've been baptized," quote, "I've been touched by the Holy Spirit. I think I have the Holy Spirit." I think I have the Holy Spirit. When was the last time the Holy Spirit just bathed itself upon you and you got lost in the presence of God and God began to work with you in a supernatural way? Amen. I talk to a lot of people who emotionally think they're being touched by the Holy Ghost, but that's just their stuff. That's just them getting emotional. That's just them getting excited or acting with the crowd. Look in your life to have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. A genuine relationship, allowing the blood and the power of the Spirit to minister in your life and let the Word of God become real in your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I haven't even got into my message yet. How about that? You're getting an extra little blessing here. Praise God. A pre-word of the word. Bless God. Hallelujah. To anybody who wishes, please come by here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon at St. Martin of Tours on J and 24th Street or 24th and J Street here in Omaha. We'd love to see you. We're going to be here 5 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. I've been told all sorts of things. Well, it's not, you know, a convenient time. This, that. Hey, when God is in it, it becomes convenient because God meets with you and God touches you. And I believe that God is going to touch lives here ministry lives, and there's going to be people that are going to lay their burden down, and they're going to find Jesus' yoke upon them, and they're going to find out that His burden is light. Amen. And see the victory of God become strong believers in Christ Jesus. Ministers who really want to be trained in the kingdom and be blessed by taking courses like we have at Focus Bible College and then being a part of Covenant and being able to really get into our ministry mode and to see some of the things that God can do to develop ministry in your heart and life. The Lord's got some great things and tools we have available here at Covenant of Grace, and we just want to make them available to you. Amen. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for His goodness. Go ahead, sing.
Down by the riverside, I'm going to lay down my burdens. Down by the riverside.
Go ahead and sing it. Amen. Oh yes. That's right.
Down by the riverside.
By the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Burdens. By the riverside. Amen. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We like to sometimes be a little spontaneous here. Amen. That's what it's all about. We're here in His presence. Amen. Praise God. I want to be able to have spontaneity, and I want us to just avail to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we pray, oh God, that You'll touch us, oh Lord, as we continue into Your presence and get into Your Word here. And I just want to thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for me, all that You've done for us. I want to thank You, Lord, for every single heartache, every single problem, every single loss, every single thing that's happened in our life that hasn't even gone my way or has gone my way. And I want to praise You, God, for all You brought me through and what You're doing today. And I say thank You, Jesus, for Your grace that's been sufficient for me. I praise God for my friends. I thank God for my enemies. I thank God for those who've despitefully used me. And I thank God for those who've used me accordingly, for God to use me to bless them. And I praise God for His visitation each and every day. Yes. Almighty God, I thank You that You've touched this ministry and the hearts and lives have become a part of Covenant and Grace. I thank You for those in ministry that I've been a part of in the last few years, and Brother Moore and the leadership of Full Gospel Restoration Ministers and Churches, and its founder, Bishop Tice, and others, hallelujah, Brother Chancellor and Brother Chapman and so many others. And thank You, Lord God, for those at Greater New Hope, Missionary Baptist Church, that have been my friends the last few years and blessed me so much, Brother and Sister Rollerson and others. And thank You, God, for Brother Backus and those at Salem Baptist Church. And thank You, Lord, for others and other churches and places that have fellowship, that St. Martin's here, that has been like a home to me in so many ways when I came here from North Platte. And I just praise God for Pastor Kim and the folks here. And I thank the Lord for what the Lord has done and the friendships I've made and the ministry of the Lord, and how each and every one of these pastors, teachers, and friends have prayed for this ministry that I began almost 15 years ago, and that it can be a part of so much that God is doing in the body of Christ and by its own lonesome doing God's kingdom business. Amen. And I just thank the Lord and I praise Him. I thank God for my kids. I thank God for our family members. I thank God for our friends. I thank You, Lord, for all those who have been a part of our lives, for good and bad. I wouldn't change anything because it helped make me who I am today. And I'm still growing. I'm still learning. You're growing. You're still learning. And we've walked this far by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I could have seen everything that God You planned for us. It would have been easier. But Lord, I thank You that we're here today and that you are so good to us, and we have this time and ability to share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to talk about God as Father today. We talked about God and the great deception. In our first lesson, we started here in this covenant series. We started here in this shepherd group a few weeks ago in our first time together. And we have gone on and talked about some of the things about God and who He is and the work of God. And now we're getting to more specifics. And I want to talk to us today about Him being Papa, being Father, and relationship. I talked last week about how we try to help people in Covenant of Grace to learn about relationship and relationship to one another and relationship to our Lord God in heaven, and that we use the Shepherd Trilogy books a lot here. Shepherd looks at Psalm 23, etc., that Philip Keller wrote, considering relationship to the Lord and understanding the shepherding that takes place that is proper from the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, and how it works in our lives and how God can minister. But unless you really know Him as a Papa who cares for you, a Father who loves you, a Father who is, as we heard in that devotion, written your very name or circumstances in the palm of His hands, unless you understand the intimate level of which the Father wants to minister to you, you're just never going to get it. It doesn't matter if you've had a bad father. It doesn't matter if you've gone through difficult times. Yes, maybe you don't have a good picture of a father, but the Scriptures can give you a picture of a Father who cares and loves and wants to meet with you and care for you and never will fail you. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. I can't say I've been a perfect father. I've had problems in my life not being the best father I should be or anything else. But I've always tried to love my kids, and I love my kids a whole lot, and I love my stepkids, and I love what God has done in so many lives.
Amen.
But I want to thank God that the Father never gives up on us, and I try to be more like Him each and every day. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples of Jesus asked Jesus to respond to them considering the Lord's Prayer and how He would have them pray. And the Lord's Prayer is what He gave them, an example, as they want to know how to pray. And He began that prayer with our Father who is in heaven. God is not impersonal, neither is He uninvolved with His creations. Instead, His word tells us that He is a Father who desires a close fellowship and relationship with His children. So, as the disciples want to know how to pray, God gave this example: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us not our trespasses, but forgive, hallelujah. I lost it there for a moment. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even pastor can make mistakes, you know. Trying to remember, you know. But the Lord's Prayer, is important to understand. There was a man many years ago. His name was Larry Leah. I don't know if he's still pastoring, etc. He was a pastor of a charismatic church down in Rockwell, Texas. I think it was Rockwell or Rockfall. Rockwell, I think it was, in Texas. But Larry Leah had this series he taught the churches about how to pray the Our Father's Prayer. And he went into churches and taught how to pray. And there was such an emphasis at one time in the Church of God about how to be able to pray and to pray effectively the Lord's Prayer. But we know one thing. It starts with Papa. It starts with our Father who art in heaven. And so we need to respect our Father and to honor Him. And if we'll honor Him, He'll honor us. Amen. God is not simply a Father. He is the Father, and He has deliberately revealed Himself as such in the Bible. First, as we saw in the last lesson, God is the Father of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the only begotten Son of Father in that He is the unique eternal Son of God. When we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we confess Him as Lord of our lives, an amazing and wonderful transition occurs. We are adopted into the Father's family. We become His children by adoption. You know, I adopted a son one time in my life. I adopted Adam Joseph. And we went through this whole process in adopting Adam. And there was a choice and a measurement in that. And in our hearts and lives, Heavenly Father has chosen and adopted each one of us who've come into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we are family to Him. And He is our Papa. Scripture repeatedly reveals God as the Father of Israel, having created and preserved the nation by means of His power. For those who are believers in Christ, God is the Father, and each believer becomes an heir of His promises. You are an heir in Christ Jesus, and you are God's child. So God has a blessing for you in inheritance. Never give up your spiritual birthright. Never sell it short. Your heritage of faith is one of the most important things you can have in your life. I don't care about your cars. I don't care about your houses. I don't care about your land. I don't care about how many possessions you have. I don't care about how many things you got. The most important thing you have in your life is your heritage of faith. And I'm not talking about, well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Lutheran. Hallelujah. Get my drift. I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. I am Papa's son. I am part of the family. I have a heritage of faith because I gave my heart to Him. And it makes all the difference in the world. And I never, ever, ever, ever want to lose that hope that I have in Him. He blesses me today. And one day He'll bless me in the hereafter. But I'm thankful that my God, who is eternal, is forever loving me. Amen. Turn with me, if you could, to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4. I have a lot of scripture, but we're not going to go through it all, okay? You're going to have to look at the notes. And if you need these workbooks, as I have mentioned to people in the past, as many of you are coming online and are with us, outside of our group, I have them available. Just call the office at our office number. I can't think of the number off the top of my head, but if you go to our website, cgmfinc.com, cgmfinc.com, check out the number or send us an email note, whatever it might be, either email or a telephone call, and we will get these books to you, these lesson notes, amen, that we are using here on the Covenant series, the Covenant and the Kingdom series, here in my shepherd group. Hallelujah. But Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4. I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible today. As many of you know, this is a Bible I use a lot. I feel its integrity is secure. Jesus was praying in a certain place. Aren't you glad that Jesus was praying in a certain place? Hallelujah. You know, I looked at that scripture and I said, hey, you know something? You know, God always has a place and He has it for a special purpose. Amen. When He finished, one of His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Okay? So Jesus told them, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. When you pray, say. Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we are also to forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation. He also said to them, imagine that one of you has a friend and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. Imagine further that he answers from within the house, don't bother me. The door is already locked. And my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks, did you hear me? Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. You know, I know we kind of gloss over that and say, oh, well, that's, you know, a hope kind of song kind of deal. But there is a place of covenant in this scripture because this is in the scripture and this is a covenant book. And as simply as Jesus has spoken that, we can believe it. And that you'll ask and you'll receive. But the problem is so many times we ask amiss. And we don't ask the Father in the Son's name. And we don't go before Him in confidence before Him. We don't go before Him in confidence. Why? Because sometimes we're not praying according to God's Word. Sometimes we're doing it out of just, you know, our will, our desires. Sometimes we're doing it because we just need it right now. And we don't care about whether or not it's right. We just need it right now. You know, I thank God for the unanswered prayers in my life. How about you? That boyfriend, girlfriend, you probably, you know, glad you didn't marry, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Come on, church. Amen. I'm getting a note here online. Somebody said, yes, preach it, pastor. Okay. You know, thank you, brother. It's truth. It's truth. Unanswered prayers. Now, thank God we can ask anything and it shall be given. That's what it says. Ask and it shall be given. But where do we get in that place of confidence and reception in our relationship with God and see it become reality? We do so as we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because we do that, what does the scripture tell us? All these things shall be added unto you. That's how you do it. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. You've got to be asking kingdom-related situational prayers. You've got to be considering, hey, does it benefit the kingdom? Is this the kingdom of God? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? And am I doing this in righteousness or am I praying this in carnality? So when you approach Papa, hopefully it's in the right attitude, in the right framework of mind, and you're doing it in a way whereby you recognize His provision that you see in the scriptures. Sometimes we don't receive our prayers when we want to because it's not the right time. And God has a plan for us. It might seem desperate we are getting. It might seem like things are, you know, hey, you know, God is really, you know, He's testing me here. But the Lord knows when it's got to be at the right time, at the right place. You know, I wish you could sit back like I have sometimes and reevaluated circumstances. Hey, if that person wasn't there at that time and did that thing at that precise moment, this wouldn't have happened. Come on now. Think about that. That's how on time God can be. I have ran into people I shouldn't have ran into and received a blessing from heaven that, woof, blew my socks off. Hallelujah. I once got stuck in a church in Wichita, Kansas, in a blizzard, in a snowstorm, couldn't get back to Bible school, and the church there said, hey, we're gonna put you on a plane and fly you back to Texas, because your bus ain't going anywhere. And the bus company said it wasn't gonna go for another 2 days because of how bad the snow was. So they put me on a plane and sent me back to Texas. I want you to know God is able. And God loves His children. And He knows where you're at. Did you hear me? He knows where you're at. Papa always knows where you're at. He don't need no GPS. My papa don't need GPS. He knows where I'm at every moment of the day. And when you call upon His name, He's there. Hallelujah. He's there. He's a Father who cares. Now, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Matthew 6. 9 through 13. I hope you're getting something out of this. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Hallelujah. I'm going to start. Yeah, I'll start in verse 6. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Now that's interesting. But it's not so interesting when you look at the scriptures before and it talks about the hypocrites and how they pray. Lord Jesus, mighty God, oh, I'm trying to do it. You know what I'm saying, guys. I'm being facetious. But, you know, they go through these big prayers and they want it for a show. I've been in churches where these young men or women are praying and it's like, you're not praying to God. You're praying that the church gets to see you, hear you praying. I mean, you know, it's not to Father. It's for show. I don't want to pray my prayers for show. Because I want to touch heaven. So when you look at verse 6 here, you need to write this scripture down. Not forget this scripture. Matthew 6, verse 6. Post it up somewhere in your house where you are reminded of it. But when you pray, go to your room. Shut the door. And pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. He's present where? He's present in that secret place. You'd have more answers from heaven. You'd see more miracles. You'd see God do more things if you found that secret place in your life with the Lord. Amen. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that place. Your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you.
Does he literally mean go to a closet? Or is he just asking for you to go to an intimate place?
It's talking more so about having an altar. Having an altar, so to speak, in your home where you dedicate yourself to where God can minister to you and you are going to be there, or it's a place where you and God have communion. I have a certain place in my house that I'm extremely comfortable with to go to and pray. It's almost like my secret place. But I can pray anywhere. But the scriptures talk about no matter what, you need to have that place. If you don't have the discipline to pray without ceasing or to be in a situation where you can go to God at almost any time, you need to find that place in a consistent manner where you pray, where it's between you and Papa.
Right.
And it touches the heart of God in a very special, profound measure. Amen. And when you pray, look at verse 7. Of chapter 6 here. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. You know, we like to flatter people sometimes in order to get them to bless us. Come on. Being real nice to your wife, whatever it is, you know, you do some flattery. Bless God, hallelujah. Come on. You know, you've done it. Come on, you've done it. Come on, be truthful to the pastor. Come on. And, you know, flattery, you know, will get you everywhere. No, it won't. It won't get you everywhere. But God doesn't want to be flattered. You can praise Him. You can worship Him. You need to be thankful. But flattery or empty words is not what He wants. Or coming to God and saying, God, if you'll do this, I promise. You ever done one of those prayers? I hope you haven't. That's not a good prayer to do, but I know people that do that. You know, hey, God, if you'll do this, I promise. No. You know, there is a covenant that we have that we can pray in confidence in the Lord. And if we get to know His Word, we'll understand how to pray. But when we do pray, let us not do with flattery or with empty words, just, you know, going on and on. I know people that really can pray nice. You know, they can pray that perfect prayer. They can make it sound so good. But it's funny that in their personal lives, even though they can do those prayers, I know as a pastor and as an individual, I see so many times they're falling short of the things of God. They know, quote, how to say it. But there's something missing in their life and the heart. They're not seeking the Lord, okay? first his kingdom and his righteousness to get to that place where the provision comes. Okay? Remember what we said earlier? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. You've got to go by those principles. And flattery and showy prayers, etc., that's not going to do it. I've told you the story a million times, and I don't want to hold you too much longer. But there was this one young man who was a preacher in Tennessee. And this young man was having a profound ministry, ministering the gospel, teaching the word. People were getting saved. His church was having a wonderful revival. And a very dear friend of mine who's very learned, very scholarly, has all the, you know, the cred to be able to, you know, be successful, and has an okay church, was not having the experiential type things happening in his church that this pastor was seeing, and the victory and the power of God. So one day, this pastor friend of mine went to visit this young man at his church. He couldn't hardly get in the door because it was packed with people wanting to hear this guy preach and be a part of what the Lord was doing. And make a long story short, he asked for an opportunity to meet with this pastor, and he finally did in his back office. And he started, the young man came up to talk to him, and it was nothing like how he was in the pulpit. And he just sat there in shock. It was just some country bumpkin kind of talk, and he couldn't hardly keep his sentences together. And then finally, after a while, and, you know, the pastor thought it was just gibberish what the guy was saying. He said, "How do you do it, man? How do you get up there and preach like you preach and minister like you minister? And the power of God hits you and God touches lives." "Well, pastor, all I do is I get down on my knees and I put my head in this chair and I just stay here till God's done with me. And then when he's done with me, I go out and preach." He said, "That's it?" "Yeah, basically that's it." He was a vessel of honor. Why? Because he said, "Lord, here am I. I might not be educated. I might not be this. I might not have all the gifts. But Lord, send me." And guess who's getting all the glory when that man gets up to preach? Jesus Christ. Why? Because that man knows this ain't me. And at any moment he quits praying and go before the throne, that's not happening anymore. That power of the Holy Ghost, that word of God is preached, it's not going to happen before. He became a different man in the pulpit. I don't know if you're getting this or not, guys, but that's what it's about. Touching Jesus, touching Papa, and really getting prayer in your heart and life where the Lord takes you to a level you could never believe or conceive of. Too many of us, we have all the mechanisms. We have all the things that, man, I've got all the books. I've got all the stuff. Then I've got it all. God don't need all those props, but he'll take them. He can probably use them, but they better not be your reliance. My reliance is on Papa. My reliance is upon the Lord. My reliance is in the Holy Spirit. I might have 2 doctorates. I might have a PhD. As I get up and preach and do the thing, I'm not relying on those things. I want God to move. I want the touch of God. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to see miracles in your life. I want you to know him and the power and beauty of fellowship in his name. Amen. Let's go to one more passage of scripture. Romans 8:14-16. Romans 8:14-16. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Romans 8:14-16. All who are led by God's Spirit are the sons of God and daughters thereof. All who are led by God's Spirit. Those who are led in the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are the daughters of God. They are walking in the righteousness of God. Verse 15, you didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are the children of God. But if we are children, we are also heirs. We're going back to heirs. Remember we talked about the fatherhood of God and that we are the heirs of God through being joint heirs of Christ? We are God's heirs and fellow heirs of Christ. If we really suffer with Him so that we can also be glorified with Him. If we suffer with Him. Let's not be pre-cross Christians. Let's die out. Let's die out. Are you having a tough time in your ministry? Are you having a tough time in your marriage? Are you having a tough time at school? Are you having a tough time in your walk with God? Are you having a tough time at work? Why don't you find that secret place of prayer? Why don't you quit the flattery? Why don't you quit the fancy props? Why don't you quit all that stuff and first get yourself to an altar prayer where you turn it all over to Him and say, Lord, here am I. Take me, use me for whatever You want me to do. Well, I might want you to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. Oh, the Jordan? Come on now. Remember that story about Naaman? Hey, he would have dipped any place else, but you're telling me to go there? That's dirty. That's muddy. You know who I am? Yeah, God knew exactly who He was. And God knows who you are. And He knows who I am. He has our names written in the palm of His hands. Hallelujah. Folks, we got to get back to Bethel. We've got to get back to the altar of God. We've got to get to the place where we sacrifice ourselves at the foot of the cross and say, here I am, Lord. I've tried to do this like Patrick. I've tried to do this like Debbie. I've tried to do this like Brother Rollerson. I've tried to do this like Pastor Kim. I've tried to do this like so-and-so. No, no, no. Lord, here am I. It's here it all is, God. Have you ever laid it all at the altar of God? Your ministry, your heart, your home, everything. Said, Jesus, I know You can make something beautiful out of this. I know, God, that You have a miracle in the making, in me. But only if I can touch the hem of Your garment and virtue. Your virtue passes to me. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your love will make the difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Give it all at the altar. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have that secret place. Lord, I'm going to my closet of prayer. Lord, I'm going to seek You first, the kingdom. Lord, in Your righteousness, Lord, I'm going to take Your yoke upon me. Oh, Lord, I know that Your burden's light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord. Jesus is the answer for the world today.
above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. But there's no other. Jesus is the way. Yes, he is now. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you that you brought us to this place. You've taken us to this well. You fed us with this cup from your word, and you filled it into our spirit. And I pray that that spirit would take this word and it would see the power of God minister, and you'd stir the water, God, and the power of God would minister in our hearts and souls, and we'd see the power of God's resurrection life in our hearts and lives. Lord, touch and minister this week. Be with us in our thoughts and prayers. And God, help us to touch heaven and to see the visitation of your glory this week in our lives. And next week when we gather together, and when we gather together in our other shepherd groups and in our other times together as the body of Christ, I pray that you would be able to see coming from our heart a testimony this week, a testimony of praise, because we met with the Master. And the Master touched my life. Lord, there's a storm out. Lord, there's a storm out. It's getting rocky out here, God. Things are getting troublesome, Lord. The winds are blowing. But you're in the ship. And you can come up and you can say, peace, be still. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you that you're the Master in my life. And I want you to be Lord of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless every one of you. Thank you for being with us. ML, bless you and your group. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Brother Cosgrove, thank you for your group. Dr. Martin, thank you that you guys were with us. Brother Osgood, hallelujah. Keep on doing the things of God. Hallelujah. I thank you for each and every one of you and whoever I'm missing. I thank you for your faithfulness. Excuse me, your faithfulness to the kingdom and this fellowship and your love and prayers for your pastor. God bless y'all in Jesus' name. Have a great week. We want you to tell us about how you touched heaven this week and God ministered to you. God bless you in Jesus' name.